swimsuit, keep this sideways.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Try to get hooked up here. And I probably will not be done by noon, but I'll do the best I can. You know, at our age, we got a lot to say. And seldom have the opportunity to have people listen because you're old, you know. You don't. Grandparents have a huge influence, though, in our children. Positive or negative. Somebody earlier was saying it's not neutral. We've seen some evidence of it here this weekend. If you didn't see the influence of Steve Hinebaugh, you had your eyes closed the whole weekend. There's an influence of a grandparent and a parent, and it's obvious. Steve talked about whose money was it, God's money or his money. You think he just figured that out last week? I don't think so. He talked about it being an investment. How many times have you had a tour guide take you around and show you his place and talk about it and then thank you for going with him? Most of the tour guides get done and they got this, you know, or actually they do it before you leave. And then there's the tip at the end. But there is an orange box in there, by the way. That orange box is a nice little slot in it, and it'll fit your money just fine, as much as you want to put in there. You know, Kirk, that was the best message I've ever heard on your topic. D word for divorce. More than 50% of all marriages in America end up in divorce. And that's multiple marriages being divorced and remarried. There's something wrong in our country. We need to train up our children to be good spouses. How are they going to be good spouses if they don't know, because they just kept seeing a different spouse every couple, months, years? We need to be training for the future generations. A warped view on the scripture or an aspect of God's word should not ruin our perspective. I made some notes. And then there's no loopholes. I mean, you know, no excuses, but no loopholes? Surely there must be a loophole. If I look hard enough, there's a way to get around it, but there is none. And you know what? I was so excited when you held up that 8. Did everybody catch that part? You know why I was excited? If it's a 10 for you now, what is it going to be like when she's got it up to a 10 too? You should be the most excited guy in this room. And I can't wait to see what Kirk's like when it's a 10 for her too. And it will be. We know it because he's going to work at it. And Mike, got to train children to love the Lord. Let's beat it into them, huh? That's the way to get love deep inside. It's going to require that the parents love the Lord. Because words have power when there's a life to back up what you say. And he used that word invest too. I think it's because he's an IRS agent, and IRS, the government figures we're investing with them. I don't think that's an investment at all. We got to keep the world's culture out of the kingdom and have the kingdom culture in our households. Mike said something very, 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 and every other very you can think of important. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. It's, for me, it's real convenient. I pray and I have a den, my office, and I have a desk with a glass top on it, and I put pictures. And those pictures of my family and the person I need to be praying for. I put the picture of Alyssa Wilson under my glass. I pray for her every day. Shouldn't have to go through that. Mike talked about discipline. You have to have discipline, or your kids won't have discipline. If you're not self-disciplined, how are you going to discipline them? You can't have it, but Daddy gives himself whatever Daddy wants. What picture did they get? They're going to catch it, not get taught it. No favorites amongst your kids. Be consistent. They need a touch every once in a while, a hug. 20 seconds minimum. I tried that with Bill Compton, but he wouldn't let me. It was about 2.5 seconds. He said, and, you know, not really. That man's got love just oozing out right over his belt, you know. He's not here. He had to hit the road. And Charlie's taking him back to Bozeman so he can be there on time to share another person that needs help. And knows okay. Knows a word your children should be familiar with. There's a one that corresponds also. On the other side of that, they should be familiar with yes. And then Mike managed to mention prayer for your children. Now, Benoit, calmly, quietly, with absolute total restraint, and with a consciousness of how hard a spoken word with speakers comes through to the elderly ear, he said that the Lord's Supper is a reminder to seek and save the lost. Awesome. Awesome. Bill Compton last night, his was what now? Seeking a lost child. I break your heart. What's our lost percentage? We can't accept any number as a lost percentage. 11 billion sensors in the body, 10 billion are in the eye. We have 130 million rods and cones in our eye. This evolved. What a pile of nonsense. You see, you got depth perception, you got color. You guys are very colorful. And that's evolved. We have a choice in the sowing, not in the reaping. Let's make sure we're doing the right sowing. And then he closed with compassion. Jared just finished, but no excuses. You got to be tough enough. We have to toughen up. That doesn't mean have such a tough outer shell that you cannot have a relationship with your children that's based on love. That's not what he was saying. Got to have a tough enough in our character that we're going to stick to doing the right thing. And if that means loving your child through a tough time, and they do happen, when they're convinced that they've got to walk away, you got to keep loving them, you'll get through. And there's no compromise. Excuses stop big picture thinking. I got to, you know, make some plaques or something for home. Put them around Jane. 1 foot in the world is all in the world. All in the world. So to get ready for speaking to you about grandparents, I thought, you know, there must be an awful lot in the scripture about grandparents. No, there's just not. When you go and you look in the Old Testament, what you're going to find is the word for son or parent, or father, is the same for grandfather. Only the context gets you to the point where you understand it's a grandfather. And in the American English language, we're going to translate a grandfather a few times. But so that would mean, let's see, if it's the same word and it has the same sort of lessons, then the same lessons we've just been hearing for parents apply for grandparents. There's not a great deal of difference. You are going to have to work through other people this time, though. Of course, you're prepared. You know, you spent 20 years plus raising them up, getting them ready, so that when they were having children and they're making their own plans of how they're going to raise them, that they can do that and you can help because they'll let you. We had two daughters, so I had no real experience with raising boys. And I thought, boy, it's got to be different working with boys. So I called Stan and Annette Zesch, said, hey, can we come up and interview you? I'd like to talk to you about this message that I have to do about being a great grandparent. And it was a lot different with the sons. They said, beat them a lot harder. No. Actually, they didn't say that. I talked to Tom and Marcia Jacobs. Charlie and Nick are stalwarts in the church. So I said, let us take you out to dinner and let's talk about this. Of course, they picked up the tab. That's the kind of people they are. That's pretty cool. Great people. And some of their grandchildren are still trying to figure it out. Do you know what kind of an attitude Marcia and Tom told us they had. They're confident that the work that's been done in their children and grandchildren's lives is going to pay off and it's going to be fruitful, and their children are going to come to the Lord and be immersed. Their grandchildren. They're excited about the future for their grandchildren. So I asked some other preachers and they had some ideas, and you'll see here. I asked my daughters about it too. And they said, Dad, just tell them to do it differently than you did it. No. I even asked my grandchildren. And I said, guys, what is it? And do you know that we love you? And they all said, yes, Grandpa, we know you love us. We know you love us. I've been successful. Jane has been successful. Our grandchildren know we love them. And there's a big reason why that's the most important thing that I could share with you today. And also for the parents, your children must know that you love them. Nothing else is going to matter. I'm going to tighten this up a little bit. When I was 50 years old, and Sarah gifted us with Elliot. And she and Davis won the first night, otherwise I'd have been there. But the next day I got to go up there, rush up to the hospital, and I put this little guy in my arms. I'm 50 years old, and I said, mentally here, I don't have much time to share with this young life who I am, what's important to me, about where I'm at, and about my God. Elliot will be 17 in a few weeks, July 1st. I figure I got maybe 8 more years, and then he's going to be too busy having his own children for me to be able to have the kind of influence. It's going to be kind of the end of it. And the first few years, they're too little. I get a very tight little window to work with those kids and give them a chance to know what's important to me. There's a lot of work to be done. The Proverbs are replete with short one-liners. I'm not going to go there. You should, of course, Proverbs 13:22. Proverbs 13:18 through 25. What's the inheritance that we're going to give to our children? I'm saving up an inheritance for my children's children. The only inheritance that matters is heaven. Amen. It's not the money. If the money's gone because we've spent it for the appropriate things for Christ's church, the money's gone. Then we'll move in with them. And if we'd done it right, they'd be happy to have us. Proverbs 17, 1 through 6, Proverbs 19, 14, Proverbs 20, 21. I was planning to read them, but we won't do that. In Job, it says in Job 12, 12, wisdom is with aged men. So we finally got some wisdom up here. Oh, no, it's been great. It has been great. With long life and understanding comes wisdom. Why does it have to be old to get wisdom? Because the wisdom of God is in this book. Young people without children, trust what was said. Couples who have children, trust what was said. You haven't heard better stuff on training up children than we've heard here. There were some great common elements within the interviews that I did. And so I'll consider it when it's always common. If you can pick up the element that's common, then that's probably pretty good advice for everybody. Maybe there's some wisdom in that. To be an effective grandparent, you must have a good relationship with the parents. If I can't get along with the parents, how am I ever going to reach down to the kids? And they must see this. The grandchildren must see that there's a good relationship. You know, somebody mentioned they had never seen me without the goatee. Well, I did some sort of meditation in Bozeman, and it's broadcast. And so the kids down in Denver picked it up. My youngest grandchild is 6 years old. Our youngest David is 6 years old. And I got a text message from Mom and said, David has never seen you without the goatee. He didn't know who it was. That's Grandpa. You know what I got a couple days later? I got a picture of David with a paper goatee. I have got a beard like Grandpa. You know how I felt? Spent the rest of the day just walking around about this high off the ground. She also sent us a note that the kids said, one of the kids said, Anna sent this note to us, that the kids knew Grandpa was praying for them. Got one. Scored. They know Grandpa's praying for them every day. That's important. Grandparents, we must support the parents. We praise them to the grandchildren, and if they invite some feedback from us, then we share with the parents where we think we can help them. You don't go in uninvited. You know what happens about the second time you come in uninvited? You're not welcome. Don't do that. Make sure your conversation is always constructive, and only do it when it's appropriate. You don't have every answer. Every one of the seven children, grandchildren we have, and the two daughters we have, and the two sons-in-law, all have different personalities. And a different personality, the basics will always work, but the nuances of how it's applied has to be learned. In your praying for them, do it without ceasing. These were common factors from everybody we interviewed. Never stop praying for your children. This must be part of the life of both your children and grandchildren. Is there anything more important than their salvation? Nope. My grandson was president of the United States and he went to hell. Doesn't count. Who cares? When you're going to Bible studies, take your children with you. And when you can, take your grandchildren with you. They're catching, somebody said, some of this is caught, not taught. They're catching it. If they're not catching anything else, what are they catching? What's important to you? Okay, and that's going to really be critical when I wind this thing up. There must be a family idea that's clear to them that spiritual matters always come first in that family. Your family, which will lead to your children's family, which will lead to your grandchildren's family. Wanted quickly, discipline. Grandparents have a tough time with discipline. Kids can handle a difference in the style of discipline, but there can be no tolerance for sinful behavior. You can't let them lie. You can't let them be disrespectful. You can't let them backtalk. You can't permit disobedience. It's different. Your style of discipline is going to be different. The likelihood that I'm going to spank one of my grandchildren is pretty remote. It could happen. But that's not really my role, at least the way I see it. That's the role. If necessary, it'll be applied. But already they're... David's the youngest and he's six. You know, somebody said if you're still spanking him at 12, you blew it. And I think that's true. But the most important one, the greatest factor that everybody mentioned was time. You must spend time with your grandchildren. They need you to demonstrate the things that you talk about. They need you to demonstrate what was important to you. They need you to demonstrate your clear character, your godly character, so they can see a clear path. If it's all hazy in their mind, I'll go do this because mom and dad want me to, and then I'll get a little older, but there's no path forward to the end, then they won't follow. My recommendation, and it turned out it was true for all the three couples that I talked to, take those trips with them. You spend time with them. Take them to a family camps. Be involved in their lives. Haul them up to Spanish Peaks. I'm 66 years old and I'm chasing around a five-year-old. I came home, I said, never again. I'll do it again. I didn't mean it. David's dad was coming up the day he was coming up to camp. He came up a day behind me with, because I went up early so we could take the kids fishing. Anyway, so David got out on a rock. I said, David, you be careful out there. You're apt to slip and you'll cut yourself. Well, about 48 seconds later, and he cut his knee and there's blood dripping and he's crying. And so Grandpa went over, I got his hand, and we head up to the camper to get him fixed up. You know what he said to me? I hate Spanish Peaks. And then it was next was, I don't think God likes me. Uh-oh. Teaching moment. Oh, David, God loves you. You just didn't listen to Grandpa like you should have. Sometimes you got to listen to an adult, and sometimes you must listen to God. What he tells you is true. Now let's get you all cleaned up. God loves you. Grandpa loves you. Mom and Dad love you. Grandma loves you. We all love you. Everybody loves you. And they do, because he's the cutest thing on 2 feet. Taped him up, cleaned him up, got him ready to go. Guess what he likes better than anything, can't wait for this year? Spanish Peaks. He loves it. But at 6 years old, do you really think all those hours sitting there preaching? You think all those messages are, boy, being integrated and... No, he's getting some. He's listening. But he's having a great time because he's up there with his dad and he's up there with his uncle. And they're going out on the river, on the lake, and we're doing all kinds of things, and it's awesome. And they can't wait to go to Spanish Peaks. Ladies, take the young ones to Ladies Advance. I know it might be just a little bit of a hassle, but do it. It's important. Take your grandchildren. Be involved in their school. Somebody else mentioned that. Be involved in the school. Support the school. Be part of the school. If they're involved in a sport and they're about to hit a baseball, where'd he go? Who's our softball player? Where's Nathan? Lost him. If they're about to hit a softball and you can be there, you be there. Why? Because you're going to see pro-level behaviors. You're going to get to some entertainment, I'm sure. But what's really critical is they know you love them. What have you just invested in them? Your time. You can't always do it. I know there's things going on, and the seven kids, you know, can't be in every place at all the time. But when you can, be there. If you spend your time, if your focus is your job, I was a vice president of a major corporation, a top 40 company in the United States. If I had spent all my time on the job, our daughters would not have been Christians. Because my words and my lips and my feet need to go the same direction. If my lips are saying one thing and my feet are going the other way, guess which one they're going to follow? My feet. Job's important, but you can still be a vice president of a major corporation and spend time with your family. It's the most important thing. Let's take a look at some advice from the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 2. And I want to look at verse 2. Well, let's just pick it up in verse 1. Titus 2 and verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. As for the older men, older women get 3 verses. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Look, if you put your finances in the appropriate places, as Steve talked about, you will find, if you trust God, that you can get by on one income. Once those kids come, what is the primary responsibility of the mother? earn a living, start to raise those children up, training them. According to the scripture, workers at home. Maybe necessary. I understand things happen. I'm not trying to get into the specifics. I'm talking in a, not a very broad generality, but in a little bit of a generality here. Find a way. You'll be fine. God can take care of you. Or can't he? You decide. You make that decision. Older men, temperate, moderate in all things, including the temptation to lose patience with the younger and become exasperated. Oh, boy. Dignified. In the Greek, it means reverend, serious, venerable. Grandpa's less likely to be the one rolling around on the floor wrestling with the kids. For two reasons. He might not get back up. And he might be the one hurt. I did it with the kids. One of Claire's fondest memories of Grandpa is when she ripped my favorite pink shirt. I'm serious. You ask her, she'll remember all about it. Yeah, she remembers those sorts of things. We have to have a behavior that commands respect. The kids will. They'll give it. We need to be sensible. Self-controlled behavior of a sound mind. The older I get, the more appeal the lazy boy has. There's just times I got to get a nap. It just, the energy doesn't hold up quite like it used to hold up. And I got to admit to you folks that COVID did me no good. You know, being shut at home and we weren't doing things. And I went from being involved in the school and so forth in the assembly. We shut the assemblies. We shut the school. I'm home. And there's just me and Jane and it's winter, you know. It's March, but it's winter. And then summer came and summer went and, you know, things just went too fast and there wasn't enough. So I've got to get back going again. It just is not acceptable. We need to be sound in faith, fact-based, Bible-based, a faith that is demonstrable to our children. It's not a mental assent thing. It's a faith that they can see. There is a place they know we're going to be on the Lord's Day. There's a place they know we're going to be on Wednesday evenings. There's times, yep, you're sick, something's going on. I understand that. That's not what we're talking about. When you can, when it's at all possible, you make the arrangements and you be there. Even if it's some young whippersnapper up there doing the preaching, because we need to encourage that young whippersnapper, and who knows what they might say that's intelligent and worthwhile, and we can apply as a grandparent. But far more important, our children and grandchildren will see that behavior. And they'll understand who we love the most, God. Who do we love the second most? His church. We must be sound in love. And that means we've got to demonstrate it to other people. And there's some, we get things like tough love. Who was it mentioned quality time? Was that Bill Compton? Jared? Okay. You're going to squeeze in quality time, yeah. Amongst all my pursuits, I'm going to squeeze in quality time. My pursuits so overweighed the quality time, there was no such thing as quality time. We must be sound in our perseverance, steadfast. No matter what, despite any storm of life. What is Mr. Hoffman talking about? I've got a grandson who's had 17 blood patches. 17 blood patches. That's where they stick the needle in his spine and they inject blood and they're trying to make a patch in there so, because blood coagulates so that he'll stop leaking spinal fluid so he can resume somewhat of a normal life. He had a huge surgery this last March, and they went in and they found rips and tears that they didn't know were there, and they repaired it, and we're hopeful for Peter's future. That he's not going to be prone, because that's the only way he can be. But what's the most important thing? Peter needs to know we love him, no matter what. It's not his fault he hurts. He didn't do anything wrong. God isn't punishing us. God isn't punishing Peter any more than he was punishing David when David cut his knee. Now, older women, reverent, so sacred in their behavior that it is obvious. Not a gossip. You know, quickly to talk poorly of another person. If you commit that you can never let anything pass your lips except that which is good about a person, you'll never be a gossip. Can't gossip if you're saying good things about them. Not addicted to wine. Drink or drugs, you know, doesn't change the fact that today it's drugs and we're, you know, who was it talking about meth or whatever. That you can't change. Now, why would the Apostle Paul, why would the Holy Spirit have sent this to Titus? You know where Titus was ministering? Crete. What's Crete? It's an island. What sort of people are on this island? Sailors. And sailors' families. Cretans. Yeah, that kind are Cretans. That's for sure. And what does the Bible say about Cretans? They're all liars. Evil beasts. Lazy. Wow. Sailors tend to get a bad reputation mostly because they've earned it. Wife in every, you know, woman in every port, and they're gone for long periods of time and nobody knows what's going on. Well, God knew the whole time what was going on. So while they're gone, their spouses were staying home and drinking and gossiping. That's not what it's supposed to be. So Crete had a terrible reputation as a seaport city. And the women, of course, were often lonely. But loneliness is no reason to be a sinful person. So, older women, teaching what is good. To love, why does a woman have to be taught to love her husband? Pardon me? That's it mostly. Now, how many husbands are unlovable? Mostly all of them. At some point in time, most husbands are not the man they should be at some point in time. But that's not what we're focused on. We don't want to be that kind of husband. We've got a great example of how a husband is, and it's Christ to his church. Why do wives have to be taught to love their children? I don't know about you, but you know, you hold those little babies just after you've nursed them and you're putting them up and you're patting them on the back and all of a sudden they belch and this white fluid comes out of their mouth and goes down your back. And then you're, oh, baby, what did you just do to me? When the other end does something. I mean, that's the life of a mom. Yeah, this is great fun. Where's that husband of mine? I didn't mind changing the babies. I didn't like it, but I didn't mind. It needed to be done, and they needed it done, and I was willing to do that. In 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7 and verse 11, we're getting some directions to older men. You know what another name for an older man is? Elder. So the directions to elders are applicable. Verses 1 through 7. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach. So here's the qualification of an older man amongst those that were over there in Titus. He's going to have to be above reproach, husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious. He's not a fighter, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God and not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil? And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church so that he will not, will not fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Those are the qualifications of an older man. These are the qualifications of a younger man, too, if you think about it. Those are the qualifications of a godly grandfather who's going to influence his grandchildren. What's important here is such that he can have a good reputation so he doesn't bring a reproach upon the church. Not conceited. All those things are the attributes that a father should have. All those are the attributes that a grandfather should have. So all those attributes can be accomplished in us. It's not some sort of checklist, and if you get 6 out of 10 right, you win the election and you're now an elder. While your grandchildren are headed off to hell. Bill's right. I want to see my family with me in heaven. What's the point if I fail in that? How can I claim anything before Christ, you know, of any sort of a reason to be there in heaven with him if I've failed my own family? I was busy about your work, Lord, and so I should be in even though my family went to hell. What? Nonsense. Nonsense. Remember, Paul and the Holy Spirit were consistent. The attributes of a godly man, the attributes of a young man, the attributes of a father, the attributes of a grandfather, the elder attributes of an elder of the church are all going to be the same attributes because they're the right ones. So I want to wind this thing down now. Finally, the most important character quality grandparents must make sure our grandchildren see is our love for them. We've heard it said, you can't teach others how much you care until, however it goes. Yeah, that's it. So it has to do with knowing and caring. They won't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. Well, how about your grandchildren? Let me start with this. It is their birthright to be loved by their parents and their grandparents. Just being born qualifies them. They don't have to do anything else. They're babies. They're young people. They have a right, God-given right. Dan, what's your name? Phil. Scott. Kyle. They don't have to do anything. You owe it to them. You love them. If you don't give them the love they deserve, you are helping to sign that death certificate, and the death loss keeps growing. Do you love your grandchildren? Elliot, in my arms. It wasn't about me. I never gave a second's thought to how much money I could leave that kid. I hope there's some. The rate of inflation, each of my grandchildren need a couple $1 million, and they ain't going to be there. And that's when they're only 12. But they can have my love. And they can know I love them. That I would do anything for them. That if I could, go operate on my back, not Peter's. That if I could, watch, David, this is what happens when you fall on a rock, and I'd let my need bleed. I don't care. It's not me. It's them. Sarah calls, they need something. I'm going to try to find a way to make sure they have it. Anna calls, there's a problem, there's an issue. I'm going to do what I got to do to help them. I love them. They didn't do a thing to deserve that love. Anna decided she's a mother baby nurse. She's a RN, right? Fully trained. She's got it down pat. She understands this stuff. Graduated number 4 in her college class at OHSU, Oregon Health Sciences University. One of the top 10 medical universities in the country. Man, she's getting to go across the stage and I'm up there with this camera and the tears and I can't see what I'm doing. I'm so proud of her. She earned it. She did the work. She decided to have her babies at home. She says, I'm not a screamer. I had to take the other 2 kids into the basement and turn the TV as loud, you know, a video thing, as loud as I could. The screaming, we thought we were going to have the police there. But she had David at home. You know what happened? Seconds later, when I get to hold David, I love this little guy. Look at this. He's got 10 fingers and 10 toes. And look at that. There's ears. That's awesome. I loved him. It's their birthright to get this love. Children assume that they have this love. God's built it into them. And they'll assume they have that love until we prove it otherwise. Oh, Elliot, I'd like to spend some time with you, but I got to earn another X amount of money. I got to go to this or that or the other thing. Oh, just a minute, kids. The TV's on and there's a great program. Children assume they have the love of their parents and their grandparents. Listen to this. There is no creature on earth so forgiving as a young child. It's sort of right through their head. It's never too late to change then. If there's anybody in this audience who realizes there's a real opportunity to change based on what's been said over the last 8 messages, it's not too late to change. I don't care how big the kids are. It's not too late to change. They are so forgiving. And we've seen this time after time. The currency that the young children recognize love in is our investment of ourselves, of our affection, of our warmth, our respect for them, our acknowledgement of their individuality and their value, and our time. It's required. If you have not given this investment to them, our children resent whatever you did give that time, affection, money, whatever to. They will resent it. And if it's the church, what do you think will happen to their salvation? If they resent the church, you're done. Do you wonder sometimes why we lose people? You'd say, that guy could, no way. It shouldn't be the church. It shouldn't be the church. It shouldn't be your job. Can't be your career. Our children resent whatever received the love they were supposed to get, the time they were supposed to get. Don't let a hobby get in the way. Don't let a selfish pursuit become something that drives your children away from you. Best thing about the family camp up here might be that we don't get reception. How many children are getting lost today because mom is Facebooking? Dad gets home from work and dad's Facebooking. Hey, they're going to know that dad has to work. Kids understand that. Kids know. It's not God probably built it into them because God said you're going to earn your living by the sweat of your brow. Well, then he's probably going to make it something pretty tolerable for the children. They'll understand. Children given unconditional love from parents and grandparents will have the appropriate self-image. They will have the right amount of self-worth. They'll have the confidence that missing that love would deny them. Grandparents, if we are to be the influence of our grandchildren, If we are to see their salvation, please make sure that what we have saved up for our children's children, this birthright of theirs, is our love for God first and our love for them next. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 14, let all that you do be done in love. If you're doing all this parenting, but without love, it is not going to work. Make sure you have the love in there. Thank you. God bless. This has been an awesome time. Thank you, Hindboss.